This is Matt Wells at UN News. No one is observing their human rights obligations in the brutal Syria conflict, UN Commission of Inquiry investigator Karen Abu Zaid said on Wednesday in an appeal to the warring parties and the governments that support them to protect civilians from harm. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, she describes the main findings of the panel's latest report, which highlights that war crimes have likely been committed by all sides in the more than seven-year war.
We were particularly worried about the displacement issue in this report, and that's been our concentration, is that people that have been relocated, none of them voluntarily, the refugees saying, I got to flee, I got to get out of here, they've been made to leave, and each time they've been moved, it's been worse than the last time. This mixture of the armed groups, as people call them, and the terrorist groups, and the civilian population, to get rid of those 10,000 terrorists or armed groups, the 3 million people in Idlib, for example, are at risk.
You're not the first human rights expert group to say this, of course. What is the impact of this report? Is it going to help in the fight against impunity? We've heard from Paulo Pinheiro, the chairman of the Commission of Inquiry report, that Syria is a human rights-free zone, effectively.
One thing we think is that we aren't the only ones saying precisely this. Stephan de Mistura has just said almost the same thing, and every other group that speaks out. Maybe the accumulation of this will make some impact, but I don't have any great hope for that when we're talking about terrorist groups. The armed opposition groups are not very well behaved either, and that's what we're saying. No one is observing their humanitarian obligations. Given after 8 years of a continually worsened situation, more and more people being victims of it, do we expect? So we can only keep speaking out, putting pressure in whatever we can do.
This report covers the first 6 months or so of this year, and I think its value is also the fact that the detail of what you've managed to find from testimonies and also from looking at where the munitions have come from. You do cite that in the report weapons have come from Iran, have been altered in Syria to potentially carry chlorine.
There are a lot of governments that are responsible, and that's one of the points we've made both in the press release and this Idlib statement we're making, is that the governments who are supporting them, arming them, giving them money, so on, have to think again about what they're doing and to whom they're doing it. You know, it's not...
Because this is a matter of record now. This information could potentially be given to a tribunal if the Security Council decides to do so.
Yes, we hope so. There are ways to take these things forward to groups that can also speak out against them, but do they have any power to really punish these people? We've got to pick them up and put them where they belong.
You've added an additional statement today on Idlib. Yeah. Why did you feel it was necessary to publish a separate statement in addition to this report?
Our report is our ordinary report that we will do, and the things that we will say in the report will now be made into a more... I think we needed to make a big splash with this statement, with what's happening in Idlib, as we say, especially this comparison of having maybe tens of thousands or 10,000 terrorists or however many there are in there, or armed groups even. And then you have 3 million civilians who are the ones who are really suffering because of this group. And so when you're trying to attack those groups, perhaps you're attacking the civilians. And just to remind those who are helping those terrorist groups what they're really doing and who they're really hurting.
But the point is that Idlib is just on a different scale to Aleppo and to Raqqa. They said that if there is an attack on Idlib, it's going to be on the vast, vast scale that is almost unimaginable.
We sort of see that. When we've done this for 8 years, we've probably seen a lot of massacres and a lot of disproportionate kinds of happenings. But this one is so right there before our eyes, and it's lingering there, and it's going to happen. So making it as public as possible, maybe it'll avoid something, maybe someone will think twice about where and what they're doing.
So you are mandated by the Human Rights Council to produce these reports. What are you hoping to get out of this 39th session of the Human Rights Council?
We have a new High Commissioner for Human Rights, whom we think is a pretty good person, and so we're really looking forward to her being as strong as the former Commissioner for Refugees was about calling out the people who are responsible for these kinds of human rights violations, just plain old violations that are just humanly wrong, you know, as we all can see, I think. We'll see.